Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Hey, homeschoolers, I'm happy to be with you this week, talking about a topic that causes many of us anxiety, gaps in our children's education. We worry that if we fail to teach them something, they will struggle in college, work, or even if they later return to a traditional school. I'm excited to address this topic today. But first, I would love to have you subscribe to Psycho with Six. I have so much fun sharing six sanity savers with you every week in my newsletter. It allows me to chat about how I'm finding sanity in my homeschooling life and to let you know about exclusive deals from me and my friends. Go to psychowith6.com/subscribe and you'll receive the newsletter this Sunday. The teaching tip of the week is to teach multiple subjects using one curriculum. I did this from the very beginning of my homeschooling. I used Five in a Row and then KONOS, a unit study curriculum. There are many curricula that allow you to incorporate more than one subject, and this saves you time. It's also a natural way to learn. When we learn about things in our daily life, we naturally incorporate multiple subjects and learning styles. This makes multi-subject learning a great way to not only save time, but to appeal to all of our students. One such curriculum that I've used in my homeschooling is Knotgrass History. I have used their American History curriculum for both high school and middle school. This year, I am using From Adam to Us with my middle schoolers to teach ancient history, literature, Bible, and more. I will be chatting with Charlene Knotgrass on Facebook Live about a comprehensive approach to teaching history on August 22nd at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, 2 Mountain, and 1 Pacific. You will have the opportunity to see inside this amazing curriculum and even have a chance to win From Adam to Us. Shop Knotgrass's resources now at psychowith6.com/knotgrass. For this week's topic, I am joined by Charlene Knotgrass. Charlene is a Christian and a veteran homeschooling mom. She received a bachelor's in urban planning from Middle Tennessee State University. She oversees curriculum development at Knotgrass History and is a lead curriculum author. Charlene is the wife of the most wonderful man in the world, she says. I've had the privilege of meeting her husband, and he is a great guy. She has always loved being a mother, and now relishes the role of mother-in-law and grandmother. She is proud of her grandma name, Little. She enjoys working with children, especially in her annual role as assistant director for their daughter Mary Evelyn's historical dramas performed by homeschooled children. Charlene loves to encourage homeschooling mothers, whether speaking at homeschool conferences, counseling mothers individually, or through her blog, Daily Encouragement for Homeschooling Mothers. Charlene enjoys reading, quilting, drawing, sewing, improving their old house, and spending time with Ray, her husband since 1974, and their growing family.
Charlene, thank you so much for joining me on the Homeschool Sanity Show. Before we get started on today's topic, though, I would love for you to tell us more about you and your family.
Well, thank you, Melanie. It's my pleasure to be on your show. Well, I'm glad to tell you about us. By God's grace, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've been the wife of Ray Knotgrass for 42 years. I'm the mother of a son and two daughters who are all homeschool graduates. Our children are all in their 30s and all are married with children, which makes me the joyful grandmother of seven wonderful grandchildren who call me Little. I'm a daughter and the primary caregiver of my precious mother, who's lived with us for the last 4 years. My husband Ray and I and our three children and one of our sons-in-law own and operate Knotgrass History, where we write and publish history from a biblical worldview and combine several subjects in our history courses. My role here at Knotgrass History is Director of Curriculum Development. One more fun thing I'd like to say about me is that I'm a Tennessean with family roots that go back before Tennessee became a state. As a history writer, that feels pretty special.
Wow, that is really neat. I bet there aren't that many people who can make that claim to being able to trace their history back.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's awfully nice.
I think that's exciting. Okay, so one of the questions that I ask most of my guests is how they decided to homeschool originally. I'm really interested to know that about you, because you didn't start homeschooling when homeschooling was just all the rage, right?
No, by no means was it the rage. As a matter of fact, I had known two homeschooling families who had homeschooled in the past and one family that was homeschooling in the present, and that was it. We began homeschooling when our children were in first, fourth, and sixth grades. And we made the decision then for three main reasons. One reason was problems at school. Although our children were doing well socially and academically in public school, we began to see some problems. During kindergarten, our youngest daughter was harassed by a little boy who ended up in the behavioral disorders program by the end of the year. In fifth grade, our oldest came home with the news that they were about to start sex education. That was the same year, by the way. We went to school and told his teacher, "Maybe you are, but he's not." The teacher's response was to put him out in the hall during sex ed. Other kids stopped and told him how lucky he was that he didn't have to be in there with the rest of them while they were doing that. The year before, our son's fourth grade teacher had subtly introduced the children to Eastern meditation. About the same time, we began to listen to Christian radio programs about issues Christian families were encountering in public schools. And what they were saying and what we were experiencing were meshing together quite well. We saw our own situation and what we were hearing. Another reason we decided to homeschool is that we came to realize that the public schools were not meeting all of our children's needs academically. We wanted to help them learn at the pace that was just right for them individually. But the most important reason we decided to homeschool is that we came to believe that we could nurture our children's faith better by teaching them at home than by sending them to school.
Absolutely. Well, you definitely had some reasons to homeschool, and I know you're very glad that you did. It's been a great choice that you made, and we're going to be talking about one issue that concerns so many homeschoolers. You and I have visited about this before, and that is the issue of a child having gaps in his or her education. So there are subjects or lessons that haven't been learned. Why do you think we homeschoolers worry about this?
Well, we worry for lots of reasons, but I'd like to talk about two common ones. I believe that homeschoolers worry about gaps because they feel so responsible. They can't blame teachers if their children can't spell or understand fractions. They can't blame the school if their children don't get into the college they want. This fear comes out of the false assumption that the outcome of our children's lives really depends on us, but it doesn't. I like to think of parents as simply seed planters. On some days, try as we might, we could only plant a tiny seed into the heart, soul, or mind of our child. And this should not cause us to worry. We just need to continue being faithful planters. God is the one who makes the seeds grow in our children's minds and in their hearts and souls. He's good at making seeds grow. Our job is simply to keep on planting. Another cause of worry is peer pressure. And I'm not talking about teen peer pressure. I'm talking about parent peer pressure. We live in a world that conforms, that pulls us toward conformity. That's why I wore go-go boots to junior high and pink jeans with my friends' names embroidered on them when I was in high school. Deep down, we parents believe that God made each person unique and that he made each of our children unique. Many of us even realize we should tailor each of our children's education according to that child's unique gifts and talents. The problems start when we start looking around and seeing what other parents are doing with their children. And that's when we get scared. We start comparing. Sometimes our comparing causes us to get scared and start conforming to what works for other children. And sometimes other people push us to conform. I think people like for others to conform because it makes them feel better. The thinking goes something like this: if you're just me, then I'm okay. But if you're different, you make me think about what I'm doing, and that makes me uncomfortable. So those are a couple of reasons.
Good insight.
I think we worry.
Very good insights, Charlene. I think one of the other reasons that we can have concern about gaps from talking with a number of homeschoolers is that it can be related to our lack of confidence in teaching a specific subject. So, you know, maybe we didn't do well in school in that subject, or maybe we didn't even have a course in that subject. How would you recommend that homeschoolers handle teaching subjects that aren't their strong suit?
Well, I'm a crafter when I have time. When I make jewelry, I use jewelry making tools. When I draw, I use drawing tools. I think that the best way to handle teaching subjects that are not our strong suit is to get the best tools for the job. A variety of tools are available to homeschoolers, but not any one of those tools works every time, every child, every subject. Let me give two quick examples that illustrate what I mean. I was an honor student in high school and college, but I didn't have a good foundation in math. When I went to college, I was assigned to an honor English class and a remedial math class. Even though that was true, we were still able to homeschool our children through high school without using outside tutors for math. Three things made this possible. First, my husband Ray is strong in math, and he did lots of tutoring. Second, we didn't stay stuck in one curriculum for all our children. We learned that this curriculum worked well for an older child. That doesn't necessarily mean it will work well for those who are younger. We found what worked with each child. And third, I used the opportunity of homeschooling my children in high school to increase my own strength in math. One year, our daughters and I sat around the kitchen table and studied geometry out of a classic geometry book, and I ended that year with a boost to my own self-esteem. I didn't feel like such a poor math student anymore. Parents often use the services of an expert teacher or tutor, and I think that works well in many instances, but not always. We had one particularly bad experience with a tutor. I signed two of our children up for a creative writing course. The teacher was recommended by someone I had great respect for, and the class was held in a church. However, one day our girls came home relating something the teacher had read to them as an example of good writing style, and Ray and I were appalled. He called the teacher and told her about our concerns, and rather than risk another assault on their innocence, I attended the rest of the classes with our girls. They had a good creative writing class, and everything was fine after that. But, you know, it wouldn't have been had we not been really on top of it, and had our girls not come home and told us what had happened. I tell that example simply as a caution that we can't simply assume that just because the class is offered specifically for homeschoolers, it will automatically conform to our standards. Like everything in life, there's rarely a one-size-fits-all solution. My personal favorite method for teaching subjects that aren't a parent's strong suit is curriculum like what we used for geometry that year. It was called Jacob's Geometry, by the way. It was something that teaches both the parent and the child. And this is the method we use in Northwest History also.
Mm-hmm. I have definitely had that experience myself, learning as I'm teaching my children, and it's so rewarding.
It is.
Well, that is excellent advice, just excellent. Are there gaps that you think we should be concerned with avoiding? And if so, how can we make sure we are teaching our kids those things?
Well, I actually made a list of about 24 objectives that I believed were the most important things in our children's education. My list included academics, life skills, character traits, and most importantly, spiritual training. For us, those couple of dozen objectives were non-negotiable. Missing any of those things were gaps we were unwilling to allow. We all have to accept some gaps. We just need to make sure the most important things. That being said, Ray and I believed that we must obey the laws of Tennessee, and we therefore made sure that our children completed each of the courses a public school student had to complete to receive a high school diploma. When they completed those courses, we held a graduation ceremony and a party at our home and invited lots of relatives and friends to it. We purchased our own cap and gown, which we used with each of our children. Our children walked into a processional. We had a program which included music and entertainment and short speeches by the graduate and both parents. We formally handed the graduate a high school diploma. We also showcased some of what our children had accomplished. In addition to the graduation ceremony and party, we took the whole family on a senior trip in honor of each graduate, which I think is a wonderful opportunity and very different perhaps than some of the senior trips that kids in school maybe are taking. But while we met the Tennessee graduation requirements, our courses did not look exactly like the courses they would have had in public school. We were concerned not only with the courses the state required, but much more with biblical worldview, with very practical application of what the children were learning, and those 24 objectives that, you know, that we came up with.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. I have never heard of a homeschool senior trip. That's really neat.
It was part of our, those are some of our most special memories. We were already planning a special trip. John graduated, and we said, he was our first, and we said, this will be your senior trip, John. And so as the others were graduating, we said, where do you want to go, you know, and they picked places that had meant a lot to them in homeschooling. So we went to Prince Edward Island for Bethany because she had enjoyed the Anne of Green Gables books. And for Mary Evelyn, we went to Calvin Coolidge's birthplace in Plymouth Notch, Vermont, because when she did a study of the presidents, she just really was so enamored with the character of Calvin Coolidge. And so that's where we went.
Oh, that is so neat. I think if I started it now, I would have two homeschooled graduates very upset with me because we did not take a senior trip for them. that is such a wonderful idea. I love that. Okay, so you and I, when we talked about gaps the first time, you told me that you think there are gaps in every education. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I do. Heather, I'll call her Heather, once told me that she and her children had been sitting day after day, all day, at their kitchen table, completing the curriculum she had chosen for them. She was rightly distressed at how much time it was taking. Another mother, I'll call her Jennifer, once told me that during one school year, her children had spent week after week at the hospital while she attended to the needs of a very ill relative. During their time at the hospital, her children had brightened the lives of several other sick people they met at the hospital. It would be accurate to say that Jennifer's children had, quote, missed a lot of school. It would be accurate to say they had had lots of gaps during those weeks. However, I believe that both Heather and Jennifer's children had gaps. They were just different gaps. Jennifer's children missed out on academics. Heather's children missed out on playing and exploring and simply getting to be kids. The choices we make about how we will homeschool is partially a choice about which gaps we choose. I encourage homeschooling mothers to quit worrying about whether they're covering everything by reminding them the universe is everything. You're not going to cover it, so get over it. The key is to say yes to what's truly important, in particular those things that are eternally important. When our daughter was 15, she asked me one day if she could write a play and invite the homeschoolers in our church to be. I'm not sure it'll be English right now, and I've never regretted the gap she experienced from not doing traditional English during those weeks back in 1998, because she's produced a play every year since. We're currently gearing up for her 19th year, and she's only 33 years old. This year's play is about Amy Carmichael, and Mary Evelyn has been communicating with the great-grandson of somebody Amy Carmichael converted from India. So don't tell me that we would have been better off sticking to our English textbook, you know, back then. You don't know what God is going to do with what you say yes to. And so you need to be very prayerfully aware of the opportunities that come your way and be careful that you don't say no to them because you've got your agenda stuck in what everybody else is doing.
Right. Wow. What an amazing testimony. And, you know, it's a testimony to the power of the freedom that we have in homeschooling. I mean, just to even consider where your daughter would be if you had forced her into the traditional mold for English. Wow.
Exactly.
Just amazing.
And it's not that we didn't do the traditional English. We didn't do it then.
Right. That's a good distinction, too. That is a good distinction. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, does it?
No, it doesn't. I'm not advocating a free-for-all by any means. Like I said, we made sure our children completed high school. We handed them the diploma after they had met the requirements. Our courses just didn't look the same.
Right. Okay, Charlene, I know you are trying to reassure the worried homeschoolers out there listening. So what if they still have concerns about gaps? What would you counsel them to do, or maybe even more importantly, what not to do?
If homeschoolers are concerned about gaps, they don't have to give in to peer pressure and do what they think everyone around them is doing, and they don't have to strap a child into a homeschooling method that doesn't fit the way God made that child. And they don't have to be overachievers who believe they should always be doing more and more and more academically.
Boy, I so agree with you on that. And, you know, I bet if there were some homeschooled students listening to you, they would probably stand up and cheer. Because,
yes,
you know, sometimes our anxiety causes us to try to do too much, and it actually has the opposite effect, doesn't it?
It does have the opposite effect. It is so much better to get to know your child and find out who God has created when he created this human being, and guide that child to what God wants that child to do.
Mm. So good. Such a great reminder. And it was just so wonderful to talk with you. I hope everyone who is listening to this and who has found this helpful, and that would be everyone, will share this podcast with a homeschooling friend. Help your friends to realize that they don't have to worry about gaps. They don't have to be an overachiever if they are worried about gaps. This was so great, Charlene. And I know you and your family have created excellent curriculum resources for homeschooling families as well. Can you tell us about those?
Well, thank you, Melanie. I appreciate that vote of confidence. Well, we write and publish history courses designed specifically for homeschool children in grades 5 through high school. Each course includes daily narrative lessons written to the student, a book of primary sources, suggestions for literature, and optional review material. All of our courses include creative writing assignments and hands-on activities. Each course is written from a Christian worldview and combines multiple subjects. This simplifies teaching for parents and enhances learning for the student, we believe, because the subjects are interrelated. This gives students with a variety of learning styles a rich learning experience, and our curriculum is not model-intensive. The only things parents have to pull together are paper, pencils, a notebook, and project supplies, if parents choose to include the project activities. In each course, we give daily assignments that tell students exactly what to do each day.
Mm, that's wonderful. I mean, what a sanity saver for parents. And I know, as someone who has used your curriculum both in middle school and high school, that it is a sanity saver, and it's such a comfort to me as a Christian homeschooling mom to know that everything you do is intended to help teach a child within the context of a Christian worldview. I love that.
That's definitely our intention with every photograph, with every word, with every choice of topic. That's what we're trying to do.
I love it. Well, Charlene, where is the best place for homeschool moms who are listening to connect with you online?
Sure. To learn about our history curriculum, parents can go to notgrass.com. That's notgrass.com. When I have to spell my name, I tell people it's not trees, not flowers, but not grass. I also publish daily encouragement for homeschooling mothers each Monday through Friday, and you can find that at notgrass.com/daily.
All right, that is wonderful. You are going to be able to find the links that Charlene just shared, as well as everything else we've discussed, at homeschoolsanity.com/gaps. Charlene, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to help other homeschooling moms like me.
Well, it's a pleasure, Melanie. I always enjoy getting to spend time with you, and I enjoyed it this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, homeschoolers, have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.